This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Beginning a three-part series looking back at the Archie Creek fire from 2020. Under Sheriff Brad O'Dell, and thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So, September 7th, 2020, things really kind of began. And on that Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, did you get woke up out of bed at some point?
I did. So I received a phone call very early in the morning. And initially, I had been woken up regarding a fire that was burning off of North Bank Road area. So I had been up. We were working on evacuations. We had done a search and rescue call out for the search and rescue volunteers to assist with evacuations. So I was in the midst of working with that, working very closely with Wayne Stinson, who was our emergency manager at the time, and coordinating resources for that incident.
And that first fire was the one that was right real close to Glide, right?
That's correct. Yep, just right off of North Bank Road.
I remember coming in that morning, and over that weekend, over Labor Day, Weather Service had been putting out these kind of ominous, at least potential, warnings. And you look at that and go, well, sometimes weather patterns change. This may happen. It may not. You know, I checked in on Sunday evening, and things were pretty quiet. I walked in here early that morning, and the police scanner was like 9/11.
Right.
And I actually, the superintendent of Glide School District at the time, emailed me a picture of his view outside the schools there in Glide. And first of all, I've never had a school superintendent email me at 3 in the morning. But the picture, you know, was very ominous. As it turned out, that was kind of the least of the situation. Take it from there in terms of what happened next.
Yeah, so Wayne and I had been working very closely. As I mentioned, search and rescue volunteers had been dispatched out for evacuations. We had deputies that were assisting with that and a lot of fire service personnel working to actively put down that fire. As the morning went on, it was roughly around 7 a.m. and excuse my sense of time because this whole incident really is a blur. But it was roughly around 7 a.m. or so, I started hearing chatter about an additional fire that was burning up the North Umpqua near Moore Hill Lane, and the concern about that incident. It started off really just kind of quiet, hearing, you know, that there was another fire and that the Forest Service was dispatching resources. I think that it's possible that even some of the rural fire departments may have sent a couple of resources up that way. And then things just really took off from there.
Yeah, it really blew up fast. And talk about, you mentioned pretty much everybody in law enforcement, fire crews, everybody was pretty much on duty immediately.
Yeah, so when things really started popping off, you know, we started hearing more about this fire up the North Umpqua and how quickly it was moving and that it was jumping and just rapidly moving. We started sending more and more resources out because it started to become very apparent that this was getting bigger than something we'd previously dealt with. So a lot of resources were dispatched out, additional command staff, the sheriff was out there, Commissioner Freeman, I know a number of other county resources were assisting. And then as the morning continued on, by this time, Wayne and I were already at the Glide Fire Department with the fire chief and other key personnel and had began setting up a command post, essentially. So we had this command post set up and we were sharing information in real time. And then that's when we realized that this fire was moving very, very rapidly. It seemed like we would send resources to one particular area to start an evacuation. And then they had to back out of that area and move on somewhere else because this was just growing so quickly.
And so all of that work really just continued throughout the day, and you could never really get ahead of it.
That's absolutely right. We would put information out about the fire, sharing information, issuing evacuations. And just as we had issued those, we were getting information about additional evacuations that needed to be instituted. And the information, it was like drinking through a fire hose just trying to process all of the information and making sure that the resources were going where they were needed.
Yeah. In fact, I think at one point I just thought of this when you mentioned it, that I had posted a story and then you emailed an update 3 minutes later because it had gotten that much bigger in just a few minutes.
Yeah, it was probably the fastest moving, most dynamic response that I've been part of. I have a handful of those in my career, but this is definitely at the top of the list.
And a lot of people really worked around the clock on that one.
Yeah. Like I said, there were so many resources that were dedicated to this response. Speaking from my own experience, I remember being up for days. I can't even tell you honestly how many days I was up, because it was constant work, a constant communication, getting information out to the community and making sure that people were safe.
And in the early hours, as things were really blowing up, I guess it was a few months afterwards, seen the video with Sheriff Hanlon, Commissioner Freeman going up. And honestly, if you were somebody off the street and sat down, you would have thought you were watching a movie.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
It was. It really was crazy. And Commissioner Freeman and Sheriff, they had actually gone out that morning and they were part of a rescue effort, notifying people. At one point in time, they had debris that was burning and rocks that were falling in their path and the road was becoming blocked. And they really had some obstacles to overcome. And, that's one story out of many of other responders that had similar situations. The biggest thing I'm thankful for is that there was no loss of life by any responder or community member during that response.
And that, it really is amazing. The other four mega fires that day, there were lives lost in those. And for the Archie Creek fire, the other thing, and there were kind of waves of information that would come out, was how many people unofficially pitched in, because you had farmers, landowners, some of the forestry companies that were up there working. And I think at that point we had a high enough fire danger, they were pretty much just sitting there, not able to do a lot. And everybody just jumped in with their equipment because they knew what to do. I mean, nobody said, hey, can you help? They were already out there.
Yeah, the partners from the timber industry, community members with pieces of equipment. I heard of a number of stories of resources that were self-deploying to help neighbors. Neighbors helping neighbors, landowners helping their fellow landowners. And we're talking, some commercial landowners that are helping private residences and everything too. And so there was just, I think that goes to the testament of the community and the resiliency of the community, and that we, really chip in and we help out when needed.
Now, overall, 131,000 acres burned. And my understanding is that we had things not gone a certain way a couple different times, that the whole community of Glide could have been lost.
Yeah, boy, it really came close. There was some very real concern for the community of Glide. It was the first time in my career that I know of that we have evacuated an entire community. And again, this is early in the first couple of days of their response, and how quickly that fire went from the North Umpqua all the way down to affecting the community of Glide and, threatening some homes over on the off of the Fair Oaks Sutherland side as well.
Yeah, and I think if you don't know the geography of the area, the fact that there was a segment heading back towards Sutherland, Oakland, not everybody realized that.
Yeah, that was a concern for a long while, because there are homes, you know, if you go out Nonpareil Road and follow that road out there quite a ways, there's plenty of homes out in that area that were impacted and threatened by this fire. In fact, we had issued evacuation notices for some of those homes. And, you know, I know the structural protection groups were really watching that as well.
All right. Under Sheriff Fred O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. When we come back, talking about the Archie Creek Fire, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 tomorrow. Part 2, looking back at Archie Creek. Matt Hill of the Douglas Timber Operators will be with us under Sheriff Brad O'Dell here of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, looking back at Archie Creek. And for people in Roseburg who don't, you know, maybe go up the North Umpqua a lot, I think one of the early things about it, whether or not they listened to the news coverage or not, was by a certain point or in the noon hour, the sky looked very ominous. And in fact, I remember getting done with this program, and I don't remember what we were doing. It was really kind of, I may have had you on the phone or somebody else on talking about some of the things going on. And I noticed a bunch of our staff in the building all heading outside, and I thought that was a little odd. And somebody said, no, you've got to see the sky, and went around back the view to the east, and oh my gosh. And from the picture of that, I put that out there, which got a ton of views. But people who didn't know the area were afraid Roseburg was in danger, because even from Roseburg, it looked that ominous.
Yeah, it was. There was an opportunity that I had to take a really quick break and just walk away from my workstation for a moment. So I walked outside, and it was one of the first times that I'd been outside that morning. And I walked outside, and I remember looking at the sky, and, you know, to this day, it gives me goosebumps just looking at how ominous it really looked. I mean, the sky, it felt like it was evening. The temperature was different. It was quiet. It was eerily ominous.
And, you know, we'd already had in California the Paradise Creek fire. Oh, no, wait, was that before or was that after?
I believe it was before.
Okay. Well, there were, you know, you hear about these fires in other places, and again, like other things that happen, you think, well, that'll never happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And it did.
It did. And, you know, I think that there was a lot of takeaways that we learned from this response. You know, all of the partnerships with the other fire departments and police agencies, you know, this was a multi-agency response from the public safety standpoint. You know, we had partners in media such as yourself, and we just really worked together as a team and figured out ways to better communicate to the public and share information.
And there were things like in the days after that, the incredibly bad air quality.
Yeah, the air was awful, especially in the Glide area. You know, I spent most of my time out there, so that's where I speak from my experience. But the air quality out there was really, really rough. I remember we were consulting with Douglas Public Health Network and other community health partners to make sure that we had resources available to people who were, you know, oxygen dependent and didn't have the resources at home to have cleaner air.
Well, and really, it was pretty hard to escape. I mean, because even if you were indoors, you could smell it in a lot of buildings. I remember our building here smelled like smoke inside for days.
Yeah, it was, you know, that smell just permeates everything and comes in through the air systems. And, you know, my vehicle was, for months, smelled like wildfire, for months.
So if people don't realize or don't know, you grew up in the Glide area.
I did.
So this is was probably more close to home for you.
It was. You know, I had an opportunity, you know, when I was out there working with people that I've known for a really long time. You know, I grew up in the Glide community. It's where I was raised. It's where I graduated high school. And so I had this opportunity where I'm there and I'm working, but I was very busy. And so being in the depths of this incident, you know, I had an opportunity to kind of separate myself emotionally. When the incident really kind of died down, I think, honestly, I think you went with me. I took you on a tour of the fire incident. It was really the first time that I'd had an opportunity to look at the devastation that had happened, and you know, it was tough. This is my community and the area that I grew up in, and I knew a lot of the people who had lost homes. So this was, you know, it was somewhat personal, and it was heartbreaking. You know, I still look at the, you know, I drive up the North Umpqua River and remember what it used to look like. You know, it's unfortunate that it won't look like that again in my lifetime, because it was, you know, in my mind, one of the most beautiful places, and it's a place I called home. And so, you know, it was tough, but again, silver lining, we didn't lose any people, and that is what's most important.
And that drive that you and I did on a Saturday, there had been a media availability on Friday. I was slammed here and couldn't get out of the building, and you were nice enough to go up and do that on a Saturday. I remember one of the things about that, first of all, it just is, you know, total shock. I mean, it's one thing to see pictures. It's another thing to see these homes. And because you knew the area, you rattled off, well, that's this family, and that's that family, and that's what that, you know, that house used to have this. And as we went up Rock Creek, and you had crews out there still working. I mean, you had houses smoldering. Let's see, we'd be 4 or 5 days after, you know, the fire began. And again, surreal is probably overly used, but it almost didn't seem possible.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's, again, you know, trying to comprehend the incident and not being able to be out there and put your eyes on things, you know, when you do get that opportunity to go out and actually see it with your own eyes and see the devastation and the work that's still being done, and you know, the people who are sifting through piles of things looking for some piece of jewelry or something that was important to them, some relic of, that was in their home. It's heartbreaking.
And for people that were, you know, involved in forestry, I mean, you had companies that lost, I don't even want to know how many, you know, begin to estimate how many acres, and that repositioned them for the future, because you've got timber that is 5 years, 10 years, 15 years in, and you've got a kind of a plan in mind about how you're going to harvest timber, and over a long period of time, and suddenly you're back to zero.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the amount of timber that was lost and the dollar amount, if you're putting dollar amount on that timber, was astronomical. It really was.
And for months after, once it was safe to get in and do it, there was a period of time there where it didn't. But one of the things this early in the morning we would see going past our building was all that, you know, we had months of log trucks bringing charred lumber back in.
Yeah. You know, I believe that private industry really did a great job of trying to, you know, do some salvage logging and, you know, try to get some value out of that property, which, of course, helps our community with revenues and everything else. And so I think that that was a really smart move on their part. But yeah, you're right. There was, for it seemed like months, logging that was going on, and seeing these burnt trees coming down the road on the back of log trucks. I hadn't seen that many log trucks with full loads in a really long time.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I would count some mornings when I went out to get coffee at 6 a.m. And it was, yeah, it was just shocking. A couple of years, actually 2 years ago, so 2023, took a trip over to Bend for something. And on that drive, it's the first time I'd gone all the way up, you know, and ultimately to Bend. And you really could see the difference of, you know, well, that's got to be private land, and this must not be private land. And just some of it looking like the fire, you know, it was just sitting there.
Yeah. There's definitely different philosophies on forest management. And, you know, I'm not a forester by any means. But I do, you know, my personal belief is that, you know, maintaining our forests and doing responsible logging and keeping the debris and the underbrush cleared back is an important thing. You know, and then again, I think that it's important to make sure that when we have something like this, that we're not just leaving the debris there behind, because those are additional fuels for future fires.
What about the people? I mean, you knew a lot of the folks involved. It's been an evolving process. I know that a lot of people that were renters opted to move elsewhere. Some of the landowners even opted to move elsewhere. How much has that area changed just in terms of who's not there?
You know, it's definitely changed. There are members of the community who decided to move on. We have to remember that this, for some people, this was a very traumatic event. And, you know, for some folks, it was better for them to relocate and start over somewhere else. And so, you know, that's really unfortunate. Then, you know, we have some folks that, you know, rebuilt their homes on their current land and are trying to start over. But, you know, the loss of what was is something that we can't get back today, right? And so if you take a drive, you still see that impact of that incident. And, you know, you mentioned the people, and there were so many amazing, heartwarming moments throughout that response. I remember the 138 Grill was feeding firefighters and responders and didn't ask for anything in return. Kids putting out signs thanking responders and firefighters for their efforts. You know, the community really just came together like it always does, and that's one of the amazing things about living here.
All right, Under Sheriff Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.